And you want to know why? Because that's what Americans do. We don't talk pretty, and every now and then we step on a few toes. I'm okay with it, and I'm willing to bet you are too. I think we're ready for a healthy dose of truth, justice, and the American way. That's why I tune into Rod weekdays 9 to noon, and I pray to God you'll join me. So together, we can get back to making America great.
Zinc Media. Feel the power of knowledge.
Number three, the fastest 3 hours on internet talk radio is right here on the Rod Eccles program, powered by Zinc Media Arts. I am, of course, your lovable host, Elrod, coming to you live from an undisclosed location somewhere within the great granite state of New Hampshire, where the state motto is still live free or die. It is not big government or bust. The call-in, the hot rod line is 603-499-7325, or Skype to Skype. Using Rod Eccles. It is Thursday, by the way. Thursday, September number 13 in the year of our Lord 2018, as we continue on. You know, the whole notion that I know some people are saying that, you know, they didn't have a choice of who they had to vote for, you know, coming up this season, the primary. And in some cases, that's true. And I know some people are saying, well, isn't that anathema to what you've been saying about, you know, voting for the most conservative person likely to win? No, it's not really. It's not going against that. It's not going against that. Because if you get behind somebody who really is a true conservative, you can make sure that person wins. It doesn't have to be an incumbent. It doesn't have to be a swamp monster. Because in the end, that swamp monster, even if he's a Republican, is only going to vote against your wishes anyway. Well, at least they're not a Democrat. Yeah, well, I mean, I know there is that. But the reality is, it is what it is, folks. You've got to make and for most people, the choice is already too late because most of the primaries are passed. But those of you that still have primaries coming up, and by the way, in New Hampshire, congratulations to Eddie Edwards, who did get the Republican nod. It was fairly close, but now I fully expect. Now, the problem is that even in New Hampshire, in the first district has been, which is pretty much the seacoast in the state. And it has been invaded by leftists, especially coming in from Massachusetts. And the problem was the affordability. Now, I know some people looking at prices in the seacoast region of New Hampshire and saying that's affordability? Well, compared to Massachusetts, yes. And the same goes for in the second congressional district, which, you know, pretty much encompasses just the rest of the state. If you look at cities like Nashua and Salem and Derry, And even going up into Manchester and some of the suburbs like Bedford and Hollis. Again, looking at how expensive some of those places are, when compared to Massachusetts and the tri-state area of New York, yes, they're affordable. I mean, let me just give you an example. If you're used to you know, taking a house that's, say, I don't know, in somewhere outside of Boston, and it's going to cost you $400,000, well, that exact same house on that exact same plot size of land in New Hampshire would only cost you, run you $275,000-$300,000. Well, that's $100,000 off. That's a hell of a lot more affordable. And depending on the town, your property taxes might be lower too. So it's a double win. Plus, well, unless you're working in Mass, but plus, depending on how you work in Mass, there's no state general income tax here. And even if you work in Massachusetts, depending on where your company is located and how you're paid, you may not, even though you may kind of sort of work in Mass, you may not have to pay state income taxes in Mass. So, I mean, it's a win. It's a win-win-win. New Hampshire's far more affordable, but they come up here with their same liberal mentality. Now, looking at the first district's results, the Democrats' total vote count was higher than the Republican, which is leading some people to believe that Eddie Edwards has already lost. Now, I'm not buying it or believing it because it's just a primary, and primaries do not always indicate, and they rarely indicate how people are actually going to you know, total vote tallies rarely indicate how people are actually going to vote in the election, especially when it comes to Democrats, because Democrats get very pissy when their candidate that they put everything behind doesn't win, and that, you know, they're going to take their crayons and their toys and go home, and they don't show up at the ballot box. Well, look at the national side. You had all the, I mean, they tried hard. Maybe not Hillary, but the rest of the Democratic Party tried hard to get Bernie Sanders people to come out and vote for Hillary. And many of them stayed, you know, they whined and whimpered and, you know, took their toys and went home because Bernie didn't win. Grant, I got their anger. You know, they fully believe that to a great degree, they're not wrong about Bernie getting the shaft. But you also have to understand, Bernie isn't a Democrat. That's the one thing that these people seem to miss out on. Bernie Sanders is still not a Democrat. Yeah, he ran on the Democrat ticket because that's the only way that he could even get as far as he got, was by being on a major. He couldn't run as an independent. Although he probably should have. And there was a time, now remember back now, there was a time when the Democrat Party actually thought that Bernie would go independent on them. Now, the Democrats knew exactly what would happen. It would be 1992 all over again, except instead of the Republicans having to deal with Ross Perot, it would be the Democrats having to deal with Bernie Sanders. Now, if you think Ross Perot's 19% was a lot for a third-party candidate, and it was, it would have been nothing compared to what 2016 would have been for the Democrats if Bernie Sanders was still in the race, which is why they had to pay him off. They had to buy him. Believe it or not, they did. They bought Bernie Sanders off. Because they could not afford, he would have split the vote, the leftist vote. He had a massive following as far as mass, you know, as followings go, on the left. We would have saw a greater number of people voting, sure. But Hillary wouldn't have won the 10 states that she did win. And some people say that, you know, Trump wouldn't have won all 40 of states that he did win. It would have been more evenly. He was still won, He would have won more decisively, I guess, but the vote would have been split on the Democrat side. You know, some people they were predicting Bernie Sanders could have gotten as much as 25% of the vote. Well, that would have only left 25 or 26% for Hillary. So there was no way she was going to win this if Bernie got in. They had to buy him off. But in any case, that's, you know, when it comes to elections, it really comes down to the point of the American people backing up their vote with the next vote. Because if you just send one, this is why one person can't do much, even if they're the president. Donald Trump has done as much as he possibly could, even without Congress. Has anybody noticed that? Now, imagine, just imagine, if you will, for a moment. Imagine, if you will, if a controlling interest, or even a good, you know, a good solid number of the people in Congress were not swamp monsters. Could you imagine what Trump would have been able to accomplish? Looking at all that he's already accomplished, could you imagine how much more could have been accomplished? Could you imagine seeing Hillary Clinton in a perp walk? Because it would have happened. If we would have elected more true conservatives, non-swamp monsters, Hillary Clinton could be facing charges right now. She probably would be. So would Comey. And so would probably half a dozen other swamp monsters, and John Kerry would not have gone out and done what he did. Do you see how important it is? The quarterback is only as good as his front line. I don't care how good the guy is in that position. I mean, he could be 10 times better than Tom Brady. He could be a Tom Brady, Joe Montana, Johnny Unitas all rolled into one. If he doesn't have a line that can protect him and give him the time he needs to do his magic, he's going to be useless. Trump doesn't have a very good front line in Congress. And yet he's still able to accomplish what he has. I think it's amazing. You know what else is amazing? Is out in California. California. And this is from the Sacramento Bee. Obviously not a conservative rag mag. But California, they've got a story here stating that California now has the highest poverty rate in the nation, despite all the high tax state efforts. Yes, newly released federal estimates show that California's poverty rate remained the highest in the nation, despite a modest fall, and the state's falling uninsured rate slowed for the first time since before Medicaid expansion. According to the Census Bureau, the share of California poverty fell to 19%, just a 1.4% decrease from last year. However, policy experts warn that in spite of the good news, more than 7 million people struggle to get by in the state. Now, we're talking the most socialistic state in the union right now. I know, you know, some people say, well, what about New York? No, California is by far the most socialistic state in the union. And yet they have the highest poverty rate out of all of them. California is by far, I do believe they're the most heavily taxed state. Again, highest poverty. Look at San Francisco. Expensive as all get out to live in San Francisco. And yet they have one of the highest homeless rates in the nation. Well, that's why, because it's so expensive. But again, San Francisco is in the state of California. California has some of the highest property values or rates in the world, let alone just the nation. And they have tremendous property under heavy taxation. And when people got a tax break, now some people didn't really feel the tax break because, you know, California's income tax rate is so damn high that some people, they no longer could write off the state income tax, so they saw a bite. Instead of blaming the state for being so heavily taxed, they blame Trump. Blaming the wrong people there. But in spite of some people getting a tax decrease and companies getting a tax decrease, the state of California wanted to fully tax the rate drop. Now, what I didn't understand at first was, well, wait a minute. The federal tax rate, let's just use round numbers. Let's say the federal rate dropped by 5 points, 5 percentage points. California wanted to up their tax rate by 5%. Now, that doesn't make any sense at first glance. Because you see, that 5% wasn't going to California in the first place. Or so you thought. You know, with all the pork and everything else and the give backs to states and the, you know, the feeding, they got it. They took a cut with the tax cut, like every state did. So California decided, well, you know what? We're not going to lose any money here. We're just going to raise everybody's taxes by 5%. And of course, you're probably thinking, well, that's illogical. Well, of course it's illogical until you understand that the state of California, Jerry Brown, the state legislature, like many good liberals and leftists, don't believe that the money that you earn is yours. They believe it's all theirs. And they're only willing to let you keep a small portion of it. Because obviously you're not going to spend it in the right way. You're not going to spend it properly. You're not going to spend it to the betterment of the community. Forget the fact that, you know, you pay the bills, you go out and you spend your money that you have to on food and shelter and you know, you buy new cars and you buy services and that feed all, and you even help, you know, establish businesses that help employ people so they get off of state government. So they get off of the street. They're able to put a roof over their head. Forget all of that stuff. Forget the fact that, you know, especially if you're a Republican, you donate to these causes and these charities that help these people. Forget all of that. That doesn't count. You still don't know how to spend your own money. And the only way the government can tell you how to spend your money is by taxing you and spending it for you, or introducing rules and regulations that prevent you from spending it, or cause whatever you're spending to cost more, so you don't spend it. You know, think of tobacco. You know, you raise tobacco taxes so high that nobody can afford to buy the damn things. Well, that forces you to stop. That's how they work, folks, because they don't believe that your money is your money. They believe that your money is their money. Plain and simple. And in any state that has this kind of severe mentality, they have a high tax rate. Overall taxes are high. They have an overall high poverty rate because it causes the prices of things to skyrocket. Because, as I said before, do you think people are just going to pull the taxes out of their own back pocket and say, here, Mr. Government, thank you for taxing. No, they're going to pass the cost on to you. That means everything is going to be more expensive. It's not just housing that's more expensive in California. Almost everything is more expensive in California. From gasoline that you put in your car to some of the food that you put on your table to your house prices, because their property taxes are so damn high. You think rent? I mean, you know, you have some cities that have this so-called rent control. Well, you know, at first, some people thought rent control was a good idea. Some building owners, they thought, it's a good idea, because they thought they were actually going to be able to get, you know, rent on time from anybody, everybody, every tenant, and they weren't going to have any troubles. And that was true at first. But then when they realized, well, wait a minute, the cost of owning and running this building is going up, but I can't raise my rent to match the cost. And for many of them, the only way for them to get out from under that is to sell the building. And there were a lot of scams and early on. You know, people they were individual building owners, you know, private business owners or private, you know, not business owners, but private property owners. And they would form these elaborate companies and sell the building to the company, thus getting out from some form of rent control and being able to up their rents. And of course, some of these jurisdictions got wind of that and put a clamp on that. So now it's really difficult to get a building out from under rent control. A lot of times, even if you sell it, the caveat goes forth. You know, this person's rent is this price, and it doesn't matter if you buy the building for $1 million more than the person who first bought it for, you still can't charge these tenants more than this. And it restricts how much you can raise the rent. And Cambridge, Massachusetts has a form of rent control. I heard some property owners said, you know what? I had to sell my two properties because, you know, even though they raised my taxes by over 5%, I couldn't raise my rent more than 3%. I was going to lose money. They were actually going to take a property that gave me a little bit of profit every month and turn it into, in the real estate terms, an alligator. I said, what do you mean an alligator? Because it was going to take a building that I was making a little bit, a profit every month on, and I was going to start paying out of my pocket to own it. I said, wow, that bad? Yeah, that bad. So we had to sell it. And he said he couldn't get fair market value for it because of the property taxes. That when it comes to investment property, it's not about the worth is not in the building and land itself. The worth is in the income that is generated from it. And the potential that can be generated. See, commercial property and most income property is not viewed the same as personal property. You know, if you have a house or a duplex or maybe even something as many as four units in a single unit that you're living in, it has a different value or worth than, say, if you had five units, because now it's based on how much income each of those units bring in. That is going to determine the value of the property. Regardless of whatever the other costs are, it's based on the income. Commercial property is the same way. How much potential income can this property produce? If it can, you know, produce $1 million, and if you look at it as a factor of seven, then the property's worth $7 million. But if you say the property's worth $7 million, but it's never brought in $500,000, well, it's not worth $7 million. And nobody's going to buy it. The numbers don't lie and they don't add up. Now, if your taxes are exceed, you know, if the running the property, you bring in an income of $1 million and the property costs to run and own it costs more than $1 million a year, well, again, that property isn't worth $7 million. Something's got to give. And this is what is happening all over the country in these high tax jurisdictions. Which, by the way, leads to increase homelessness because people have to sell. And when they sell in many states, all the old leases are null and void and people have to sign new ones, and sometimes they can't afford the new stuff or the new lease. Or and even in jurisdictions where the old lease must carry over to the new owner, it still has the lease still has an expiration date. And if there's no limit, even in some rent controlled districts, I mean, if they take the building out of rent control, and in some places they can do that. I don't know what they got to do. They got to jump through hoops, but they're able to do it. You know, your rent is going to double. People have said, well, my rent doubled. I couldn't afford that. Now I'm out in the street. Well, that wouldn't have happened if the county and state didn't tax the previous owner half to death while limiting their ability to recoup the losses. So that contributes to homelessness, believe it or not. Rent control, actually, there was a study done. It was like, I remember it clearly, it was 4 or 5 years ago. Rent control, and I think it was a college, it was an Ivy League. Was it Harvard or Yale? One of the two. Rent control actually contributes to homelessness. But you can't tell a leftist that because they think that they're doing great guns and great good by having rent control. Maybe that's why California is having such a hard time with poverty.
Warning. Listening to The Rod Eggles Show by the idiot left may cause outrage, fear, a need for safety pins and or spaces. If you experience any of these symptoms or are allergic to truth, tune in and learn something, Snowflake.
We've all heard of male enhancement, but now there's an expert on true male enhancement in the areas that really count. In Herb Ellis's book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, you'll find answers to questions like, why doesn't she want to have sex? A quick start, quick results workout guide, plus what you can do as a side hustle to make money now. With all the great tips in this book, every man can benefit. Get the book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, on Amazon.com.
It started with a knock, but it wouldn't end there. What happens in the story next, many wouldn't understand, and most wouldn't believe. 5+2=Perfection by Samuel Rosette Jr. is a must-read. The scriptures within are reminders of the ancient past, and yet intriguingly infuses with texts which stand on the edge of the stage of relevancy. Available online at Westbow Press, Amazon, Books A Million, Barnes & Noble, and SamuelRosetteJr.com.
This holiday season, help Soldiers for Stockings improve the morale and welfare of members of our armed forces deployed overseas. Now through November 20th, there is so much work to be done, and you can help in many ways. Download the stocking pattern from stockingsforsoldiers.org and start sewing today. Volunteer to help decorate and assemble stockings. Donate Christmas candies, snacks, nuts, chips, drink mixes, DVDs, books, magazines, lip balm, toiletries, and other items needed to fill the stockings. Or help make packets of snowman soup, hot chocolate, to send along with the stockings. For more information, patterns, and a list of items needed, visit stockingsforsoldiers.org. This holiday season, help send our troops a touch of home. For many, it's all they will receive. All stockings need to be completed by November 20th. So get started today at stockingsforsoldiers.org. That's stockingsforsoldiers.org. Stockings for Soldiers, sending stockings filled with joy to our soldiers in harm's way for the 9th consecutive year.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just $1 a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-471-9742. That's 800-471-9742. Again, 800-471-9742. 9742.
Do you need a car? Been shopping only to be turned down because of bad credit, low credit, no credit, bankruptcy, or divorce? Guess what? Today's your lucky day, because now you can buy a car, truck, or SUV, just about any vehicle. It's true. Bad credit doesn't matter. No credit doesn't matter. Bankruptcy or divorce, it just doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, your job is your ticket to your new vehicle. We're Auto Credit Express, and we've helped thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company, got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now and drive off as early as today. Just go to 7ignoremyscore.com right now. That's www.7ignoremyscore.com. Auto financing the easy way. 7ignoremyscore.com. Get started today. Auto financing the easy way.
Now we come to that portion of the program where I bring to you today's holidays. Yes, the holidays for today, September number 13, are thus. Bald is Beautiful Day is dedicated to those who are bald either by choice or by genetics or by illness. It's a day that you're supposed to be happy about being bald and to acknowledge those who are bald by thinking that they are beautiful. Some people do actually look good bald. Some people don't. Some people got funny heads, funny shaped heads. But other people have some beautiful heads, shaped heads. And some people look, actually, they're, especially men, there are some men who actually look better bald than with hair. It's also Fortune Cookie Day. This is supposedly the day that the fortune cookie was invented, and there are a number of different theories on the exact year, but today is Fortune Cookie Day, so go out to a Chinese restaurant and get yourself a fortune cookie. It's also International Chocolate Day. Celebrates chocolate, the sweet confectioner treat that's made from the cocoa bean. We're not going to go into that part of it. But it is the cocoa bean, not cocoa. That's how you, it's cocoa, actually, is how you actually pronounce it. Americans got lazy. Just say cocoa, but it's cocoa, C-O-C-O-A. It has no relation to cocaine. It is also, get ready for this, parents, Kids Take Over the Kitchen Day. So your kids are supposed to come home from school and take over the kitchen and prepare dinner today. That's and it just might be peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, but be happy for it. It's also National Peanut Day, speaking of peanut butter and jelly. Yes, the day that we celebrate that legume. It's not a nut at all. Peanuts are actually a bean or a legume. It's also National Celiac Awareness Day. Celiac is basically an autoimmune deficiency disease. I think it has to do with eating, right? It's also Positive Thinking Day. Today is a day that you should not have a negative thought at all. Only think positive. It's also National Defy Your Superstition Day. Chorus 13, number 13, Triskaidekaphobia. It's a day that you're supposed to face your fears and your superstitions head on. It's also Roald Dahl Day. Famous author. I don't know why we're celebrating him, but okay. And it's Programmer's Day. Can't leave out the good old computer geeks. Those people who program all that stuff that we see everywhere now, just about. Has to start it somewhere in some guy's or some woman's head. And they tapped it out onto a computer. Programmer's Day is today. It's also Snack a Pickle Day. Snack a Pickle Day is for snacking on pickles, of course. And it is Uncle Sam Day. A little bit of history of this. The officially recognized theory dates back to soldiers stationed near Troy, New York. During the War of 1812, barrels of meat they received were stamped U.S. The supplier was Samuel Wilson of Troy, New York. Now, soldiers back then jokingly referred to him as Uncle Sam. In 1813, the first image of Uncle Sam appeared, and in 1961, the U.S. Congress issued a resolution recognizing Uncle Sam Wilson and authorizing a monument in his hometown of Troy, New York. Uncle Sam became official holiday or celebration in 1989 when a joint resolution of Congress designated September 13th as Uncle Sam Day. The date was selected because it was Uncle Sam Wilson's birth date. He was born on September 13, 1776. How apropos. Of course, there are other less believable theories out there, so we won't go over those. But those are your holidays for today, September number 13. Now, go out there and celebrate responsibly. Middle class. Middle class income rose above $61,000 per year for the first time last year, the U.S. Census Bureau says, a story out of being reported in the Washington Post. Just crumbs. Middle class income rose to the highest recorded levels in 2017, and the national poverty rate declined as the benefits of a strong economy lifted the fortunes of more Americans, so said the U.S. Census Bureau. Washington Post here. Right now, Washington Post is owned by who? Jeff Bezos of Amazon. Let me reread that for you. The Washington Post says middle class income rose to the highest recorded levels in 2017, and the national poverty rate declined as the benefits of a strong economy lifted the fortunes of more Americans. While Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats are running around saying it's just crumbs. Well, there's less poverty today because of this economy, because of those crumbs. And the median household income earned a little under $62,000 last year, meaning half of the families in the country brought in more income than this and half earned less. So half the population earned more than $62,000 last year. Now, I know it's no of comfort to you if you earn less than that, but in order for it to rise to that level, it means that fewer people are earning $20,000 and more people are earning, say, $30,000 that used to earn $20,000. Again, just crumbs. Just crumbs. Now, crossing the $61,000 mark signals that the American middle class may have finally earned more than it did in 1999, although the Census Bureau cautions that median income last year was not statistically different from 99 or 2007, the last year before the recession. However, there is a statistic out there as well saying that median income or real income has caught up with 2007. And by the end of this year, we'll surpass it. So in other words, people are catching up to what they lost to inflation back, you know, over the past decade or so. They will get it back and then some. But it's just crumbs, right? Just crumbs. You know, they want to take us back. The Democrats want to take us back to high tax days. But we have a growing economy. There is nobody can deny that. More people are participating than ever before. Again, nobody can deny that. We have less poverty today. Again, nobody can deny that. We have rising incomes. Nobody can deny it. So what exactly, again, are they resisting? What exactly are they, you know, everything that the left has claimed in the past about capitalism is now, I guess, their worst nightmare has come true. It's working. Their process, their beliefs were not working. Their process, their beliefs were being eliminated by this president, this administration, and things were turning around. So are they resisting progress, real progress, and are they resisting real prosperity? Well, yes, they are, because socialism and communism cannot exist in prosperity. Do folks realize that? Because the antithesis of prosperity is decline, depression. You can't have, and socialism and communism is based on poverty. It's based on decline. Because then you only have a few elitists who actually benefit when the vast majority is suffering. But if you have prosperity for the vast majority, socialism cannot survive. Communism cannot survive. Because people would say, wait a minute, I'm doing well. Why would I want to give that up? And they can't use a term, well, the old saying, well, your neighbor down the street is suffering. Because they're looking at their neighbor saying, my neighbor just added on to his house. I don't think my neighbor is suffering. My neighbor just bought a new BMW. I don't think my neighbor is suffering. My neighbor just sold his house and bought a bigger one in an exclusive neighborhood. I don't think my neighbor is suffering. So they can't use those terms anymore. People see prosperity all around them. They experience it for themselves, and they see their neighbors and friends experience it as well. And so the whole notion is, you know, you might be doing okay. You're one of the lucky ones. But look at your friends, your family, your neighbors. They're not doing as well. And socialism will equal all this out for them. And those people are saying, no, my friends, family, and neighbor, my family isn't asking me for money anymore. Because they don't need my money. They got their own because they're doing so well now. You know, my neighbor, my neighbor used to borrow my lawnmower. He just went out and bought himself a new riding one. I'm going to have to borrow his. So there's no more of this being able to utilize, well, your neighbor, your coworker, you know, the kid. You've probably noticed a decline in certain type of poverty style advertisements and public service announcements. You know, the hunger things, all these people with food insecurity. You know, it's hard to say that there's so much food insecurity when Americans in general are overwhelmingly fat. Well, they have food insecurity. They're 200 pounds overweight. How the hell do they have? You only get that way by eating too much. Well, if you eat too much, you obviously cannot have food insecurity. So all of those things that they used to see constantly on ads on online and on TV, they've almost all disappeared. Child hunger, the whole SNAP program, the food stamp program, the wonderful child, you know, the school lunch program, they're all seeing a decline in participation. So you can't even say that anymore. People who are truly supposedly, you know, food deprived or food insecure, on the decline. Well, if all that bad stuff is on the decline and all that prosperity is on the rise, where more and more people are participating, what are you resisting? They don't have an answer. But do not doubt their ability to get people elected who believe in socialism and even communism. Like Ocasio-Cortez and Beto O'Malley. That's his last name, right, O'Malley? It's an O. It's a very Irish-sounding thing. The United States has likely surpassed Russia and Saudi Arabia to become the world's largest crude oil producer earlier this year, based on preliminary estimates. Yes, the U.S. is probably now the world's largest crude oil producer, thanks to all that non-damaging fracking. Fracking is terrible now, man. Well, we've been fracking for over a century, people. A lot of people do not understand or know that. They believe fracking is something new. It's not. Fracking is an old technology. Now, we've just gotten better at using it, and sometimes we use certain chemicals. And I get it that some of those chemicals can be pretty caustic, but they only use them at deeper levels. And all it does is just help us extract more of the oil that's there, while at the same time putting something down there to replace it. Because, you know, in many cases we just used to take the oil out and it just became these voids. Well, you were more likely to have earthquakes because of land shifting and falling because what used to be there is no longer there holding things in place. What fracking does is it basically helps release what's there in gas and oil from the type of rock that it's in, like shale, but it also replaces it. So there is no potential shift because whatever was there before is being replaced that holds everything together. And we've been using that type of a system for over a century now. Fracking is not new. In February, U.S. crude oil production exceeded that of Saudi Arabia for the first time in more than two decades. In June and August, the United States surpassed Russia in crude oil production for the first time since February of 1999. Again, because we're allowing us to get our own energy reserves, so we don't have to buy it from. I never understood, wonderful leftists. No, you can't do it. Well, we need it and we're going to use it, so we have to get it from somewhere. And you know that we have such high standards and stringent restrictions and regulations on this stuff that other countries don't. So wouldn't it be better and safer if we got our own instead of destroying somebody else's country? I always thought that. Well, there are some people in our government finally that get that too and also agree with it. It's now at the point of being another great, again, example of being able to do what America can do and has always been able to do, but now being allowed to do it. Tax reform 2.0. There are some people that including myself, who've been reporting